I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Station Studio. We're listening to music by Okaija Afroso, and he's a Ghanaian-born musician and one of the music arrangers for the show we're about to be talking about today. And you can hear more of his music at okaidja.com. We're going to visit with three stellar actors today: Susanna Mars, Iana Berkshire, and John San Nicolas from Artist Repertory Theaters and Staged. A Civil War Christmas is a collaboration with Staged. The show runs November 22nd, which is today, through December 23rd, and features a diverse cast and music arrangements from Portland's top-notch contemporary musicians. We're starting the holiday season pretty early here, right now, on Stage and Studio. Stay tuned. Born in
Bethlehem. Children, though, where I send thee, oh, how shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee three by three.
Beautiful song. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Here in the KABU studio are actor and longtime friend Susanna Mars. I've known you since I've been in Portland.
Same here.
Welcome back.
Oh, so happy to be here.
And two other amazing actors, Iana Berkshire.
Good
Hello.
Morning.
The first time on stage and studio,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, great.
And it's nice to have you here.
Glad
and
to be here.
I've loved you since Intimate Apparel.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful, beautiful yeah. work. And John San Nicolas.
Hi.
Welcome. First time or two. And I've loved your work since Badass Theater's Invasion.
Thanks.
That's
that
how
fun.
Far back, yeah. Well, first-timers here with me, and welcome all to Stage and Studio. It's good to have you here, and I know this is preview night, so thank you for making the time. I know that's a difficult time, and I really appreciated that you made the time to be here. So thank you all. You're having your first preview. I promise I won't make you sing, okay, because I know you guys are all fantastic singers, and I know you have fantastic voices, and you have a show opening this week. So trust me, listeners, there are great voices here. You're all from Civil War Christmas, A Civil War Christmas, an American musical celebration, and it's a collaboration with Staged and Artist Repertory Theater. The play is written by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Paula Vogel, whose work I've admired for decades, and that song we just heard was from Okaija Afroso, and it's a song called Children, Go Where I Send Thee. And do you all sing that song in the
show?
We do,
yeah, actually, mm-hmm. Okay. You're playing
so it's an
hard.
Ensemble?
It was hard not to sing along.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, darn. Okay. you could have, but I know, you don't want to. You shouldn't. Save your voices. It's beautiful, and he's one of the arrangers of the music you're all singing, and it really sets the tone that A Civil War Christmas isn't going to be the usual Victorian Christmas-type Christmas play, right?
Well, we were so fortunate to get permission from Paula Vogel to have all the songs rearranged by local composers, and Okaija is one of them, mm-hmm. and they were able to bring their own cultural identity into the piece in that way, and we were able to really make an awesome reach into some different types of music to represent.
Well, that's great that she gave permission. I mean, that's pretty much why she wrote this musical was to do, or play, is to do something that's different from the traditional Christmas play.
Well, and that really America's holiday story or Christmas story hadn't been represented in an American theater, at least.
Yeah, it's usually like a Christmas Carol.
Right, which is a British,
right.
And so she was setting out to write a story for us to
That is American,
tell.
Yeah. Well, who are the other musicians? Because there's some stellar people like Daryl Grant, LaRonda Steele.
Holcomb Waller.
And Edna Vasquez.
James Beaton.
Brian yeah. Koch from mm-hmm. Blitz and Trapper.
Mm-hmm. So there's a wide array of styles, too.
I do have to put out then, since we're talking about the musicians, on December 6th, there's going to be a special concert with all the arrangers at Artist Rep.
Really?
Yes, on a Tuesday, and it will be at
7:30. Is that an off night for you?
It's an off night for us, and it's going to be this great way to...
At 10:30 at night, though?
Oh, no. It'll be at 7:30.
7:30. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be performing. Are you going to be performing too?
It will be about 10-minute set per arranger, and then we'll have little interviews in between. It's an opportunity for community to come and meet the arrangers, talk about their process.
But they're performing.
Yes.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Performing.
Nice.
Yeah. We
yeah.
have such stellar musicians as a part of this project. It's really exciting to hear all of their voices throughout the show, and I think it represents Portland really well. I think it represents the United States. I think it represents different identities that are loud in the public at this moment. The youth, kind of just a fresh look that needs to be heard. And so I feel really fortunate to be a part of it and be able to lend our physical voices to their arrangements.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about some of the songs. Are you singing, you know, any solos at all? Yeah, Ayana?
I have 3 solos in the show, and I do not feel like the confident singer. It's been a long time since I've sung in such a, I guess, focused way. And so it's been really fun to work with all of my fellow actors and musicians and our musical arranger or director, Andrew Bray, has been really fantastic in guiding us through this process. So it's been exciting. Every one of our rehearsals also includes a number of hours of music rehearsal as well. So it's been a great challenge, and it's going to be a great show.
And it's good to get back into that.
It feels wonderful. Yeah.
And there aren't a ton of solos in the show because
Do you
it's
have one,
no, I didn't think about it, but no, I don't. And there's 15 of us.
That's a lot of solos if everybody had a solo.
Right. And but for the most part, I mean, we're all on stage all the time. It was part of the directorial vision, and we're all singing a lot of the time too, and that's been really challenging but really rewarding. We've really come together as an ensemble for many reasons, but that's one of them.
Well, John, I heard you earlier this year do a hip-hop rap. Are you doing any of that for the show?
There's no
Darn.
Rap in the show.
You know, we are working on some stuff that may be drawing in some rap.
Or some poetry.
I think there's going to be some improvisation element in the show. So you'll probably see things that sound like rap that come personally from the cast in those, and we're excited about those. Mm-hmm. And those are a recent development. We've really been fudging with everything in the show from day one, and there's never been an opportunity for us to get settled and like, okay, now we know what we're doing, and let's just get a bunch of reps and then get bored of it so then we can get really excited again when an audience comes, because we've been building this up until like the last minute, and we've got rehearsal after we leave here, and we're going to continue to fine-tune things. Mm-hmm. And it's been super challenging and really, really rewarding. And the end result is we're going to have something that is very personal to us as a group that is negotiated by every member of the group together.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Have you done musicals before, John?
I have. Yeah. Not a ton. The most recent one I did was Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson at Portland Playhouse.
Right.
And so mostly when I'm in musicals, they're more character driven, and like there's still the emphasis not as much on the music as it is in this production. This is the most music heavy production, and the caliber of singers and musicians that I'm working with is definitely far superior to any other musical I've done. And everybody's playing instruments. Not everybody, but everybody's playing some kind of instrument.
Everybody's musical.
Playing
to
a
some
tambourine
extent.
Right. or banging on a box or whatever. But we've also got Layla's playing the piano. And Layla Murphy is playing the piano, and Amy
Piccolo and the flute.
That's right.
And also, what's a really interesting aspect of this production is Andrew Bray kind of was at the fore of the development of this unique instrument that is. It's a piano harp that he developed with the makers PDX, and that is an incredible instrument that everyone's kind of learning to play. It's this, and you can, when you come to see the show, you can take a look at it, but it's an instrument developed for this piece to create sound effects. And one of the most beautiful moments for me in the show is I won't tell you what happens, but there's a big clap of thunder, and then there's horses galloping, and all that sound effect is made with this piano harp. It's very evocative and haunting.
They basically took a piano and ripped out the parts that do things and put it upright, and so we're playing the strings as if we're inside the piano.
Kind of a John Cage thing going on.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah. It sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts talking about A Civil War Christmas. It's by playwright Paula Vogel, a collaboration with Staged and Artist Repertory Theater. My guests are Ayanna Berkshire and John San Nicolas and Susanna Mars. And the show previews tonight and runs through December 23rd at Artist Repertory Theater. And you can find out more at artistrep.org and stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Now, the play is with music, and it's set in the winter of 1864. And it's the last year of the American Civil War, and President Lincoln has just won re-election and is getting ready for his second inauguration, but the country is divided.
Oh, what a surprise.
By the war. And Mary Todd Lincoln, who, Susanna, you play, and her seamstress, Elizabeth Keckley.
That's right.
Yes, you're sort of the seamstress to the stars, though, right? And you're both mourning, actually, a very serious play here. You're both mourning the loss of your sons, right? And that does that connect you both?
Oh, it does.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think seeing the devastation around us, and yeah, it's really interesting. I've been thinking a lot about the loss recently and of our respective children and how much of a bond that is. So I think they rely on one another emotionally and have a deep friendship.
I do too. And I know that from what I've read and that Mary Todd Lincoln was isolated in many ways and was very vehemently disliked, and I think that her bond with Elizabeth Keckley was, you know, life-saving.
Mm-hmm. How historical are these representations?
Very.
Yeah.
Paula Vogel is a Civil War expert, and she does not, no holds barred on these interesting little stories that once you dive in, you think, wow, that was true. Mm-hmm. That happened. That's fascinating. Because that's something that's so interesting to me right now in trying to bring diversity into our world and love and compassion is so many stories that haven't been told. And there are many in this particular play, and that makes me feel very proud to be a part of a story or a play that's going to make people curious and want to go to a book or, you know, be in a group and talk about the history.
And to read more about it, right. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people who have been, their stories are undocumented,
right.
You know, that to have a historical character like Elizabeth Keckley even, to go, okay, let's find out more about her.
Right. I had no idea that this woman held such a high position. And then really built on that, she bought her own freedom from slavery and that of her sons and, you know, made her way to Washington and became the seamstress to the elite.
The elite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and made a living for herself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in addition, she helped many of the displaced, recently freed slaves or slaves who were escaping that Southern persecution, helped them to find safe places. And it was through the help of people like Mary Todd Lincoln and Abraham Lincoln and many others that she was able to help build this home for them. And that's really exciting, too.
Mm-hmm. Any chance you could share some of your favorite lines that maybe you know, for each other's, you know?
I was thinking about that. And one of my favorite lines in the play isn't my line. Lovely. So it's the spark of the divine in every man, and it's Manton Saunders, and he is a Quaker character played by Val Landrum. And I just have been thinking about that so much recently, the spark of the divine in every man, you know, and that just really, I'm trying to find the spark of the divine in every man right now in our world.
In what's going on right now.
And it's a big challenge.
Yeah. How about you, Ayanna?
Well, you know, I think there are so many lines. I keep coming back to this place of trying to find one that I...
It changes every day.
It changes absolutely every day. But I think so many of them do refer or give reference to what's happening in the world right now. And that's why it changes every day for me, because I keep finding these lines that I'm able to infuse with my own challenges of, you know, what's happening in our world around us.
Right. John and I have a scene too that's so interesting, because it's a very tragic time in the war, and the loss is incredible. And John's character says, you know, it's a rough time, and Mary Todd Lincoln says, yeah, it's so hard this Christmas. And I mean, that line, I could say that myself.
It's
right,
really
today.
Hard. Yeah. It's, John, let's talk a little bit about your characters. Do you have multiple characters?
We all have multiple, but my most centrally involved character of the storyline is Moses Levy. He's a Jewish soldier from New York, and he is dying. We find out right when we meet him that he is on his deathbed on a stretcher left in the middle of the ship docks, and Mary Todd Lincoln sees that this is happening, and she comes to be with him and he comfort him, and she asks if he wants anything, and he asks for Walt Whitman, who had come through the wards when he was injured a couple years ago and told and read poetry and gave small gifts to the men, and he's got some lines that are very personally connecting for me, and I just it's the death aspect of this story. You know, you can't have this Civil War story without that. And I think about my father, and you know, that's the death that affects me the most, and so that really resonates with me. I also play as a horse named Silver, a mare who farts.
Oh, don't give that away.
So you just said something really beautiful, and then you...
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's life, though, you know? There's life. Well, you know, theater can, too eerily reflect the times, you know? And I'm sure that when, you know, Artist Rep and Stage decided to produce A Civil War Christmas together, I mean, no one really foresaw that there would be such a strong divide in America right now. And, you know, they could be reminiscent of some of the Civil War history you're presenting in the play, but I'm sure you've had some kind of discussions ever since the election, since this happened. Well, you want to share any thoughts about that?
I think
as in the context of the play.
This was going to be a really ambitious project. They were going to throw a lot at us, and we had a short amount of time to do it. So I think initially the choice was just let's just dive into the work, let's just bang this out and get it done, because there's a lot of work to be done. And we found out very quickly that that wasn't going to be able to be a thing that we did. Even before the election, we had to basically stop. Rehearsals had to freeze so that we could stop and talk about how personally we felt about this story, about the Civil War, and also about how personally we feel about the world today and how we could fit them together. Because I don't think any of us really personally connected with the script that much in the beginning, because it was kind of one of the beauties of it is that it's kind of open and generic and really needs the cast and directorial crew to bring their personal touch to it. And so there just had to be long, difficult conversations about that, and race is involved. And, you know, none of us expected there to be such a divide in America. But I think when we had those conversations, especially after the election, there were some people who expected that. And I think that was pretty clearly drawn along racial lines.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think for me, it really became so clear what voices have had the incredible honor of being heard up to this point. And because we have such a diverse cast, all of a sudden, I was realizing when you've had the privilege to have your voice heard, myself, I'm talking about, I've had the opportunity to be heard, and then it is my duty at this time to really bow down and listen. And this is going to be something I think that I want to think about, I want my children to think about. Who in your room right now, you know, where you are, hasn't been heard, and how can you lift them up so we can be cognizant of who needs to be heard? That just came through really loud and clear for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a really interesting process. I think at one point in time, for me, I wasn't sure that the play would actually make it to the stage. And I've never felt that way about a show before, but there was so much that needed to be told in the confines of this script, and there needed to be the permission in order to really bust open the script and be able to put our own voice and our own emotions and feelings into it, because if you just take a story of the Civil War written by a white woman, I don't know that 100% of a multi-ethnic cast is going to feel like it can relate to that story and feels like it is truly representing their place and time in history, and the place and time in history of their ancestors who went through that Civil War. And that actually was across all the color lines, because we certainly have people in the cast who have ancestors who fought in the Civil War, that fought for the Confederates, and who very much were, you know, have very strong feelings about that, that they, that doesn't represent them. And how are they going to be able to tell this story? And, you know, how do we tell the story of fully realized people in this very, I don't know, black and white kind of script.
Right. You have words and you've got to make sense of them.
Yeah. Well, the limitations of theater in general.
Well, what's been interesting too is that during our rehearsal process, you know, because we've come up against all sorts of interesting mm-hmm. challenges that we've really risen to. I feel so happy about that. And I look forward to being with the cast every time we're together for that reason. Is that now we're crafting talkbacks that are going to be unique to speak to many of these issues that are somewhat unanswered in the play, that we can bring in experts and have these conversations and potentially be a conduit for more understanding and listening and conversation.
Well, and it's important to tell, you know, the full story of American history too. I mean, there were Asians and Latinos mm-hmm. in the Civil War, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's part of our historical record. Mm-hmm. So I was glad to see that the cast is so diverse. And I want to give a shout out to some of the other actors. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Val Lundrum, but also mm-hmm. Jimmy Garcia, Crystal Muniz, Seth Rue, Kai Tomozawa, Vince Chambry, anybody else that I'm...
Maya.
Maya
yeah,
Lukoski.
And mm-hmm. Hannah. And I'm sorry.
Her Amy. Character name.
Andrea Whittle.
And Andrea Whittle.
Oh, beautiful.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And you've got all these musicians, so mm-hmm. it's a huge group of people.
Yeah. Blake Stone. Blake Stone. Mm-hmm. Are we missing anybody? That we have so many people.
Gosh. Oh, Vin Chambry.
I mentioned Vin.
Oh, you did.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Ted Rooney.
Yes. Oh, Ted, yeah.
Oh, who plays Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to tell, you know, a fuller story of American history, especially in this time when, you know, diversity is somehow getting backlashed, you know.
Right.
You know, I feel like we've gone 20 decades back, you know, it's 2 decades, but 20 years. So what has surprised you in the time remaining about the history of the country, you know, by doing this and doing your own personal research?
Wow. I mean, what surprises me is how I personally, and maybe how our educational system decides to take one story and go with it. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating to me. It's like human beings just gravitate to knowing something and to feel as though we've got it under control. And the fact is, there's no one story about anything. And so the minute we can just bust out all these dumb textbooks that say, this is how it went. I mean, get kids going out and asking their grandparents and finding mm-hmm. the stories and unearthing treasures, literal treasures. That's the way we can build truthful history, in my view.
I would agree, and I feel like that's in part the subtext of our play. I hope that comes through, because we've all had such challenging work to get it to this place, and I think those words really are just floating on top of everything else that's resting underneath it. And I think that's going to be the overall tone that comes through. And it's still, you know, a beautiful holiday play and has all sorts of fun elements and is going to be
celebratory.
Really joyful.
It's an
Absolutely.
American celebration.
And it's going to be family friendly too.
And mm-hmm. has director Paul Angelo, we didn't give him a shout out, yeah. but mm-hmm. has he brought out more, you know, of the, I guess, how political does this production get? I mean, how has he brought this together?
Well, I think on the page, it pulls some punches. It's, I think it's about people coming together and trying harder and hoping for peace in the future. And so I think a lot of us were worried about it, some of the terms we've used are it being Civil War light or the Hall of Presidents version. And it, from the page, it could definitely be that play. And he has pushed us and encouraged us and fought with us like siblings about how to give it teeth and to how to make it hurt people so that then we can heal.
Right. That's just so key in my view about grief and loss, is when you open up your heart to the hurt, then the love comes right back in at the same level. It's just, you know, the biggest loss in your life, and all of a sudden, you know how much you love by how hard you hurt.
I think the talkbacks to this play are going to be phenomenal. You know, you're going to hear a lot of stories, and that's what we should do right now, is just listen to each other.
Right.
Artist Repertory Theater, in collaboration with Stage, presents A Civil War Christmas, an American musical celebration, and it is a celebration, by Paula Vogel, Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, and it's an original score by Daryl Walters, but arranged by some of the top Portland artists, and it's directed by Paul Angelo, music direction Andrew Bray. The show starts tonight with a preview, November 22nd, with a preview, and runs through December 23rd on the Alder Stage. You are all working through the holidays, aren't you? At Artist Repertory Theater, that's located at 1515 Southwest Morrison Street. For tickets, call 503-241-1278 or visit artistrep.org. And I have all that info at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Civil War Christmas runs about 2 hours with one 15-minute intermission, appropriate for school-aged children. In the time remaining, you're all Artist Repertory Theater residents. What does that mean for you? Is that good?
Home.
Uh-huh.
Good.
It means being part of the conversation in what's being done in the future. It means I'm developing relationships with the other resident artists. And that's been something that, you know, wasn't an immediate thing, right? We were a very diverse group when we were formed. And over the time, I've had the chance to work with most of us. And it really is a different feeling.
It's good to be a company, huh?
Yeah.
So, well, Susanna Mars, Ayanna Berkshire, and John San Nicolas, thank you for joining me today on your preview night. Mm. And break legs this
Thanks.
Week.
We will.
Have a good run.
If anyone listening has some really cool Civil War story that they want to share with us, send it along to Artist Rep.
All right. Absolutely. That's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to KBOO engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio or tweet me at Stage, the letter and studio. We're going to go out now with Golden West from composer and musician Daryl Grant, one of the arrangers for A Civil War Christmas. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.